Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. One more week till Pesach. Hopefully you have your guest list ready for the Seders. And your house is about done. Hi, I'm Hirsch Berlin, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. And we start a whole new book of the Torah this week. It's the book of Vayikra, and the first parsha is Vayikra. Each of the five books is called by the first parsha in the book, and this parsha is where we really start learning about all the laws of the sacrifices, or korbanot, or korbanos. There are five types of meal offerings, a peace offering, a sin offering, and a guilt offering. All designed to right an unintentional wrong. There's an opinion that when Mashiach comes, he should come immediately now, please God, that the sin offering will go away and that the meat will no longer be used as an offering and that we'll all be vegetarians. But who knows? The bottom line is Hashem should bring Mashiach, the promised Messiah, now. Especially with the whole world heading into the morass it is, who else but Mashiach could get everyone to live in peace and rise higher into our service in the one above? And speaking of service, our staff is ready to serve with the best in educational Jewish radio with Music Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Wardelin. So, sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Special guest today, Rabbi Don Yoel Levy, CEO and Kashrus Administrator of OK Kosher in Brooklyn, New York. He's going to unravel some of the mysteries of the business of kosher supervision, what to really look for, and who to trust as we all get ready for the kosher of kosher holidays, Pesach, or Passover. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And don't forget to take time now, especially before the Pesach holiday, to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week, or just give us a donation. Jewish Experience at Verizon.net, or you can call us at 412-979-5770, and we'll let you in on all the details. If you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo, and the community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. Popular Feminist Perspective is now sponsored by Lens Landscaping. Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is still available for sponsorship, so you can call right now and reserve your spot. Rabbi Goldwasser's popular story segment is now sponsored by Rolodin. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. Entire staff works hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own musical Moishi, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 7:17 p.m. Still climbing, so you can relax and enjoy some of the sunshine, the warmer weather. You got plenty of time.
Yisrael, יסוד וקורא, מי קיים חי ישראל, מי קיים חי ישראל, גוי יסוד וקורא, מי קיים חי ישראל,
Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refua Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Unlike most of the other paragraphs in the Haggadah, which are written in Hebrew, the very first paragraph, Heilach Mo'anyo, is in Aramaic. Many of the commentators offer reasons for this. This afternoon, we will give a very beautiful answer. The Gemara tells us that a person should not daven in Aramaic. The reason? The angels understand all languages except Aramaic. Since we need the help of the angels to polish our tefillos, our prayers, therefore we shouldn't daven in a language that they do not understand. The Gemara then tells us of a certain Rabbi Yudon who, when visiting the sick, would daven for them in Aramaic. And the Gemara questions this custom because we know that one shouldn't daven in this language. The Gemara answers that at the head of a sick person rest the Shekhinah, Hashem's divine presence. And therefore, since the Shekhinah is right in the room where the person is davening, the person does not need the aid of the malachim, of the angels. And therefore, the person may daven in Aramaic. On the night of the Seder, we are told that Hashem tells His heavenly array to come down to this world to see how beautifully His children praise Him for our exodus from Egypt. It comes out that the Shekhinah is right there with us as we are conducting the Seder. In order to emphasize this and make us aware of it, the first paragraph in the Haggadah is in Aramaic. And a person wonders, how can we daven in Aramaic? A person then becomes clearly aware that tonight he sits in the presence of the Shekhinah and therefore is ready to conduct the Seder filled with awe of the moment.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first 4 issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Now it's time for a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Worms was one of the oldest Jewish communities in Europe and is best known for being the town where Rashi spent a good part of his life. In the 1600s, a learned individual by the name of Yuspa Shamish recorded the ancient customs of Worms. These minhagim provide a fascinating window on life in an ancient Ashkenazic community. The shamash, the synagogue sexton, was responsible for the arrangement and performance of the prayers. He woke men for services at 4:30 a.m. in the summer and daybreak in the winter from 7 to 8 a.m. Using a special gavel, the shamash knocked on those selected windows and doors in the center of the street so that the sound carried to all the houses. As he knocked, he called out, "Shulan, Shulan, come to the synagogue." This duty was carried out faithfully in all seasons, regardless of weather. Another duty of the shamash was to maintain a communal oven in his house where the townspeople stored their Shabbos cholent pots. On Shabbos morning, the shamash left services shortly before they concluded in order to assist people in removing their pots from the oven. Carrying them home was permissible, for medieval communities all constructed an eruv for this purpose. Among the rabbi's duties was to punish or fine recalcitrant members of the community. On occasion, proclamations of bans against individuals were issued in the synagogue. Most medieval communities had but one synagogue. As is customary today, the rabbi delivered special sermons on the Shabbosim before Pesach and Yom Kippur. The rabbi was provided with a home and was exempt from all community and property taxes. He was also given a special seat in the synagogue facing east on the northern side toward the Bima, the platform on which the Torah is read. The rabbi's jurisdiction extended to the towns surrounding Worms, and he was expected to visit them periodically. Community members were selected to become Parnasim and Gabaim. Parnasim were responsible for the administrative affairs of the community, such as overseeing the assessment of families' income for tax purposes and enforcing community decisions, while Gabaim collected each family's charity obligation. A boy who turned 13 on Shabbos was not permitted to read the Torah in the synagogue, but was required to wait till the next Shabbos, for the community did not consider him to be bar mitzvah until one day had passed following his 13th birthday. On Purim, before the night and day Megillah readings, young boys paraded around both the men's and women's section, wearing masks and holding torches at night. Young girls donned their holiday attire, dressing up as Queen Esther. They also paraded around the synagogue in a manner similar to the boys. Yushpa's recording of engagement, marriage, and circumcision ceremonies indicates that despite the everyday struggle for survival and occasional persecutions, the Jews of Worms had an ample livelihood. A bridegroom sent lavish gifts to his bride, banquets and feasts were abundant, and marriage ceremonies were held in the communal wedding hall. Circumcisions were attended by many of the congregation's members with great rejoicing. Yospa also mentions the extraordinary rabbinic ban placed throughout the year on playing cards, dice, or any type of game except for chess and except for Hanukkah. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Finance Minister Avraham Hirson is planning to attend Sunday's weekly cabinet meeting. But Channel 10 television in Israel reports that the finance minister is preparing to suspend himself in the face of mounting evidence that he may have embezzled money. Sources in the Kadima party say Prime Minister Ehud Olmert is considering replacing Hirson with former Justice Minister Chaim Ramon, who is awaiting sentencing on charges of indecent behavior stemming from an overly aggressive kiss. Ramon's lawyers have asked the court to cancel those charges. If this happens, Ramon would be allowed to hold government office again. The police recommend charging former Minister of Agriculture Israel Katz with fraud and breach of trust in connection with an investigation begun in 2005 over allegations that the Likud lawmaker made political appointments in the ministry. The police have announced that they have finished collecting evidence against Katz and have given the material in their possession to the state prosecutor. Police say they have evidence against other senior officials as well and hope to charge them with fraud, breach of trust, and forgery. Reserve Major General Yossi Peled says Israel's ground forces need training and fast. "I'm not sure we have a lot of time," he said, echoing comments by Chief of Staff Gabi Ashkenazi. The former head of Israel's Northern Command says the army has to regain its ability to fight and win. Quoting Peled, referring to last summer's war against Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon, the feeling of failure in the last war stems from two things, the way things were managed and the way the army was neglected in the past few years. According to the London-based Arabic newspaper Al-Hayat, Israel has told France it is worried about the rearming of Hezbollah and the possibility that it will renew its attacks on Israel. In addition, Israel has criticized Lebanese Prime Minister Fouad Senghor for not preventing Hezbollah's rearmament. A French source telling Al-Hayat that France asked Israel about Syria, and Israel answered that it prefers the current regime in Syria to any alternatives and that it is capable of destroying Syria at any time, but prefers not to weaken Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. The reason Israel gave for this, according to the report, is that Assad is weak anyway, and no one knows who will replace him. Al-Assad has charged Israel with creating a war mentality and cited as an example reports from European sources that Israeli hospitals have ordered their staff not to take vacations this summer. Israel has denied the claim, which was reported by WorldNet Daily. Arut Sheva, Israel National News, has been informed that two army battalions have been taken away from activity in the Golan Heights and stationed in the northern Samaria community of Chomesh, apparently as part of preparations for the planned resettlement of Chomesh by Jews on Monday. Those Jews uprooted in the disengagement of 2005. Boaz Haetzni, one of the organizers of the Return to Chomesh campaign, says the army's involvement is another example of the government's folly, disconnection from reality, and its warped agenda. Quoting Haetzni, "The government is taking soldiers away from preparations for the next war, which is about to begin, and for which it will be responsible." Army Radio says there is growing probability that 200 residents of Hebron will be evicted from Shalom House, the strategically located building between Hebron and Kiryat Arba, south of Jerusalem, in which a group made up mostly of Jewish students made their home this past week. According to the station, the Ministry of Defense has looked into the matter and determined that Minister of Defense Amir Peretz never gave his approval to enter the building as is required by law. Orit Struck, a Hebron resident, is quoted as saying a decision by the defense minister to remove the residents from the building would be a political one and not a legal one. Quoting Struck, "If the defense minister decides not to give the final seal of approval, this would be anti-Semitic behavior." Struck claiming double standard in the suspension of three border guards seen in a video distributed by the Yediot Ahronot Daily's Ynet news service hitting a suspected Arab rock thrower in Shechem. She notes that policemen have not been suspended after violence against Jews, including cases in which criminal indictments have been handed down against the officers. During this weekend, we are giving a taste of this past week's Jerusalem conference on public policy issues. Catch more on demand with Yishai Fleischer on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Heyer, the 5th of Nisan on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, warmer than usual Friday with hazy skies and Sharav heat and wind conditions, still windy but cooler Friday night with a chance of local rain until noon on Shabbat morning, then partly cloudy, a significant drop in temperatures during Shabbat, with no significant change in temperature Sunday or Monday. In Jerusalem and Eilat on Friday, 27 degrees centigrade, 81 Fahrenheit, Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Well, the winter getting behind us, it's time to get your kids, age 3 to 11, registered in Camp Gan Yisrael for a summer of a lifetime. The camp runs July 9th through August 17th at the Yeshiva Boys and Girls School buildings with swimming and trips off campus. For more information, visit cgipittsburgh.com or call Shmuley Rothman at 412-715-4883. 412-715-4883. There's a Pesach family concert with Benny Friedman live Thursday, April 5th in the Katz Auditorium of the JCC in Squirrel Hill. Doors open at 7 p.m. The show begins at 7:30 p.m. There's a nominal charge. Benny's music has become popular with young Jewish music lovers across the nation and around the world. For more information, call 412-715-4883. That's Rabbi Shmuley Rothman again. The B'nai Emuna Synagogue has two events open to the general community. A pre-Pesach seminar on March 27th at 8:15 p.m. Come with any questions you may have about making your home kosher for Pesach. And a pre-Pesach lunch and learn on Shabbos, March 31st. Topic is prepare for your Haggadah. There's a cost for the lunch. Contact the synagogue at 412-521-1477. course, the meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Tower every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. The program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. And the program is not for women only. Men are invited. For more information, call Elon at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us, 412-979-5770, or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 7:17 p.m. We're very excited today to have Rabbi Don Yoel Levy, who is the CEO and Kashrus Administrator of OK Kosher, a kosher supervising organization located in Brooklyn, New York. Rabbi Levy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And just as we first get started here, you know, years ago, the concept of keeping kosher, of course, is a biblical command, and it's something that's very important to Jews everywhere, and it's very special to the Jewish people. But it's something that they used to have, and still do, I guess, responsibility for on their own. And yet with processed products today, it's very difficult, obviously, for somebody to do this on their own. So they have to rely on what we call heksherim, or symbols that are on these products, which come from supervising organizations like yourself. So can you give me an idea when this concept of supervision from companies got started? How did it get started? If you want to relate it to your specific organization, that's fine.
Okay. The OK, at the time it was called OK Labs, Organized Kashrus Laboratories, was started in the 1930s by a fellow by the name of Goldstein.
Mm-hmm.
He was a chemist himself, and he started investigating products, certifying them. I don't know too much about him. I've read some books that he gave out. He also, at the time, would say which certifications he approved of. In other words, he did his own certifications and he approved of other organizations. At the end of 1960, I think it was 69 or 70, my father assumed control of the OK Labs at the time. He had already been in certifying products a few years prior to that. He started off with a company called Barasini Chocolates at the time.
Mm-hmm.
From that time on, he took care of the OK Labs. He started out at the time with about 12 or 15 companies. When he passed away, he was well over the 400 mark.
Wow. So this concept of supervision, when people rely on a company, I mean, does that take the onus away from them? Do they still have the onus? How does that work halachically?
Well, halachically, the fact is that the Torah says, "Ein echad nemun b'yisurim."
Mm-hmm.
A person, one witness is believed when it comes to permissible and non-permissible things. For instance, in marriage contracts, you need two witnesses.
Right.
Most monetary, you would need two witnesses. But when it comes to things yisurim, or permissible and non-permissible, kosher and non-kosher, one witness would be permitted. The Lubavitcher Rebbe told my father an interesting story. I had asked him if he wanted me to report to him about what I was doing in the kosher certifications, because he had been the one who had instructed me to go into the field of kashrus. See, he told my father the following story. He says the Iraqi Chavar, who was a very big genius in Eloy at the time, never went to bake his own matzahs. And he said an interesting thought. He said, if I go... You know, he was a very, very smart person, and he said, if I go, I'll see, and I'll ask a question, and it won't be good. So
right.
He says, instead of my going, the Torah says, Eid echad neman b'shurim, one witness is good enough to say that the thing is permissible, so I rely upon something else. And it's interesting to note, the Rebbe did the same thing. He did not go himself to bake matzahs. People would bake and come and say, here, the matzahs are kosher. And the Rebbe says, the time differ. I don't want to hear details of what's going on in kashrus. You tell me it's kosher, that's enough for me.
So let's say for some reason that the supervising organization was wrong and the product, Chas V'Sholom, that they used was not kosher. What happens to the soul or the neshama of the person?
That's a little bit different. Obviously, the person's soul will be a little bit blemished, but the question is, does the person get blamed for it? No, the person does not get blamed for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If he was talking about a person who he had a right to believe was reliable, if he was relying on somebody who we knew he shouldn't be relying on, then that's a little bit different.
Okay.
But if he was, for instance, went over to his rabbi and his rabbi said to him, these are the kashrus organizations that you should rely on, and assuming he goes to his rabbi as a competent Orthodox rabbi, and he's done what he should have been doing. He did the right thing.
Okay. And speaking of the competence of the kashrus organizations, and there are a lot of them, and there are many sites on the internet and other publications that keep people up to date on what the kashrus organizations are doing. Besides that, an individual going to a store or looking at something, how does he determine whether one organization is okay, one organization may or may not be okay? How does he know what to trust?
I just mentioned to you that we're assuming that his rabbi will guide him.
Okay, so he goes to his local rabbi. Local rabbi has surveyed the situation, and here's to something that I've seen, and it's a curiosity, and maybe you can clear this up. But it seems like because there's so much rumor flying around. For example, and I'm not going to use any specific names, but there's an organization that's not listed on some of these other sites. And when I inquired about it, people said, oh, they're not reliable. And I would ask them right away, what did they do? Most people, including other rabbis, can't answer that question. They just say, we've heard they're not reliable. How do you respond to that?
Well, I don't like to make public statements about other certifications.
We're not using any names. I'm just saying the concept
itself. Number one, we certify products. We don't certify people.
Okay.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And to an extent, you know, people say people live in glass houses, shouldn't throw stones. You know, we're open to criticism just like they're open to criticism, so it's a little difficult for us to start making statements about other organizations.
Let me rephrase a little bit. I think in every organization has its problems and has come up against problems. I think you yourself, going back a number of years, had a problem, and you addressed it very aggressively and very clearly, and I think that helped in your situation. Is that something that people should look for?
Well, I would look at it in the opposite direction. If I found an organization that never had a mistake, I'd say there's something wrong.
Okay.
I once had a rabbi who was checking plants for me, and we checked their history to see what they do. You know, we have everything is computerized today, so you just open up, look at his history, you see if he's how many plants he's doing a day, and is he doing it in a timely manner, how long is he spending there. And I noticed for a certain period of time, he didn't find anything wrong in the plants.
Okay.
I called him and I said, you know, people are human, people make mistakes. I'm not saying that people are out there to do vicious mistakes, but people do make mistakes, things happen. How is it possible that all your plants for this period of time, there were no mistakes, nothing to report? I don't believe that. I said, I don't think that you're doing a good enough job. So an organization that seemingly never makes mistakes is, I think, an organization that's not willing to admit that mistakes happen.
Sure.
The question is, do you react right away and tell the public, look, we made a mistake. This is what happened. There was a mislabeling. This and this happened. We caught it, and this is the situation. If an organization does that, I think,
obviously, yeah,
I would say the converse. Such an organization is to be respected. They found it. They took care of it, and they acted upon it.
Right. Yeah, and they went out publicly.
If you just have an organization that never had a kashrus problem,
yeah.
I would be suspicious.
Got it. Okay, so as a final concept here, talk a little bit about how a product becomes kosher under supervision. In other words, if a company decided that they wanted to have supervision, or I guess somebody else decided that they called the company and said you should be supervised, as far as your organization is concerned, take us through very quickly just the concept of the steps that are involved and how you would take over the supervision of the product.
Well, you know, our Talmud tells us that a person came to two sages. And he said he wants to convert and teach me the whole Torah on one foot. One rabbi said, I can't do it. The other rabbi was extremely smart, and he said, okay, I can do it. He told him a very wise statement. Unfortunately, I'm more like the first one. I'm not that wise that I can tell you such a complicated thing on one foot. Becoming kosher is not a very simple process, but I'll try to give you just a little bit of an idea. A company decides to become kosher. Today, everything's online. You go online. You look through your kosher organization. You find the kosher organization that you want. You click on the site. You get yourself an application. The application will ask you all sorts of questions. It will ask you, obviously, name of your company, name of the plant. You know, you have companies like, for instance, Walmart has their headquarters in Bentonville, but their plants are all over the United States. The same thing, some of these companies have the headquarters in one place, the facilities in another place. Then we'll also ask, have you been certified beforehand? Because if they were and they're coming to us, we want to make sure that they're not coming to us because they had a kosher problem. We'll contact the other kosher agency to find out was there a kosher problem. Once we feel that the air has been cleared and the company is a company that we can work with, we then say, we need a list of all your ingredients. If a company is using non-kosher ingredients, there's no reason for us to go out and visit them or start the long process. We'll tell them right away, look, these ingredients are not kosher, and we cannot work with you unless you decide to change, reformulate. Once we have got the complete list of ingredients, and that is a very detail-oriented process, we need to know the name of the ingredients, the producer, are they kosher certified, are the ingredients, how they have to be marked. Some ingredients are kosher without being a mark, having a mark. Some have to have a mark. Some have to have two marks, two seals, etc., etc. Once all that is taken care of, we then request them to give us formulas. We have a formula for every kosher certificate that we issue. The requesting of the formulas will sometimes bring up ingredients that, for some reason, they neglected to tell us about. I mean, I had a company that I was visiting, a chocolate company in Germany, and they insisted they were not using a certain ingredient. So once we instituted the requesting of formulas from all the company, I went through the formulas and I see they were using that ingredient. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they weren't being very honest with us, and we had to drop the certification. So we have to make sure we know all the ingredients coming in. Once we know we have all the ingredients, we have all the formulas, then we can go out and visit the plant. We have a person who is rated as a rabbi who can set up plants, and we have three tiers, simple, medium, and very complicated, and the rabbis are rated according to the plants. The rabbi goes out, visits the plant, writes a comprehensive report about the plant. If there are any instructions, the actually shouldn't say any instructions, any kosherizing to be done, he'll write a report how to kosherize the plant, and he will give us a list of instructions. Then we will find a rabbi in the local area who will meet the rabbi when he visits. We will give him the instructions on how to further monitor the plant. Then we draw up a contract with the company, and the company signs a legal contract that it will follow our guidelines with all the ramifications if they don't follow the guidelines. Once that is done, and the company signs the contract, the ingredients are in, the formulas are in, the instructions are in, then we can set up the rabbi to visit, and we can issue a kosher certification.
Great. So how does the rabbi visit? Does he call ahead of time? Does he surprise visit?
The surprise visits.
Okay.
Part of the contract is that they have to let us in any time.
Any time, sure. And
it sounds easy, but sometimes you come on a surprise visit, and the people who are your contacts are not there.
Right, yeah, okay.
So sometimes you have to call up and say, this is so-and-so, is Fred in? And they say, yes, thank you, and then, you know, and then you go visit. But, you know, we do set up to make surprise visits, but sometimes it gets complicated.
Okay, and finally, and I know this is on some people's minds because they've asked me about this, how do you protect against conflict of interest? In other words, a company maybe getting too chummy with a rabbi, maybe paying him on the side, chas v'shalom. How do you monitor and protect that kind of stuff?
Okay, we have rabbis going in there yearly to make what we call annual visits. And he will see what's going on in the company. He's a rabbi who understands what's happening in the company. He understands the systems. He understands how a factory works, what has to go in, what ingredients, what the equipment is used for, and he will then see if something is wrong or not. We also have access to the computer systems in the company, and we can see what's coming in and what's going out. We set up in the company's receiving systems. We want to know everything that's coming in. Besides the fact that it's looking on the shelves, because you don't always see what's on the shelves, we have a receiving system. If they're really going to get very chummy, you're talking about me keeping double, triple books, which is quite complicated. It may sound good in the so-called detective stories, but it's not an easy system to do.
Okay. All right. And so there's safeguards, and that's good. So as a final wrap-up, because we are out of time, any advice that you would have, being in the many years you've been in the business, to the kosher consumer, and just in general, as they're getting ready for Passover, they're trying to be careful about what they're choosing and what they're doing, any general advice?
Products that you are buying have a certification that your rabbi feels is reliable.
So once again, rely on your local competent rabbi.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Rabbi Levy, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon on the Jewish Experience Radio program. I mean, it's been some great insight into the kosher business, and it's something that's been mysterious for a lot of people for long, and I think you've cleared up a lot of that. And I want to wish you a kosher and frelick and Pesach, and thank you again for being with us.
Thank you very much. You too.
That's Rabbi Levy, who is the CEO and kosher administrator of the OK Kosher, based in Brooklyn, New York. Rabbi Levy, thanks again. Now here's a light look at getting ready for Pesach from Billy Ray Sheet called Manischewitzville. Enjoy.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching my wife make a mixture of two beaten eggs and some oil. Stirs matzah meal in, I get a good feeling, smelling those made lach beginning to boil. Passover time again in Manischewitzville, searching for my last crumb of my mates. Time to buy grain and pour the beer down the drain. Time to find the Pesach place. I don't know the reason, the Passover season comes as a surprise to me every year. One day it's Purim, the groggers are whirring. Seems like a week later that Passover's here. Passover time again in Manischewitzville. Sweeping up my last promise I made. Buy grain and pour the beer down the drain. I can't find the Pesach place.
cousin Dolores. We'll bring her boy Morris. He'll chant the four questions and get sick on wine. And my baby brother, bring some weird agata. But somehow the Seder will still turn out fine. Passover time again in Manischewitz still. New Paisley place. Yes, it's time to buy grain and pour the beer down the drain. Time to buy New Paisley place.
Feminine Perspective is brought to you each week by Lens Landscaping at 412-372-5215. Lens specializes in shrub and tree care and provides free estimates. Lens says, I'll treat your land like it was my own. Call Lens at 412-372-5215. And now, here's Deborah DeLynn.
Stephen Covey, the renowned author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, writes in his newest book, The 8th Habit, but what he calls the, quote, thing mentality. People tend to treat each other today like things, inanimate, unfeeling obstructions on the path of success. He says that this treatment is one of the reasons people have difficulty getting others to listen. The speaker believes he is generously bequeathing knowledge, while the listener is thinking about how he is generally wasting time listening to somebody else. One forgets, especially in the workplace, that colleagues aren't obstacles to promotion or success. They are people. Living, breathing, feeling people. Covey says that the pathway to greatness is through treating others with the respect that is due to all people. For then, a healthy, positive atmosphere is created, one in which people want to work towards a goal. This week's Torah portion, Parshas Vayikra, begins the third book of the Torah, the book of Leviticus. Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu using a strange term, Vayikra, and he called. Normally, when Hashem wants to talk to someone, the verse just says, Vayomer, and he said. So why the special term? Moshe was understandably upset that he was passed over in choosing of the priestly family. Therefore, Hashem calls him with the term Vayikra, which is a word used when angels speak to each other. Moshe thought to himself, even though I will not serve in the Mishkan on earth, I will serve in the heavenly temple, for Hashem is called to me in the language of the angels. Another interesting point. The famous Aleph, the last letter in the word Vayikra, is very small, giving the word the appearance of Vayakar, and it was cooled. Moshe's anxiety over missing the priesthood cooled down, and he was content. In fact, he went about teaching his brother the service of the temple with a happy heart, for he was truly glad that his brother had merited the priesthood. In addition, we learned in Sefer Shemos, the Book of Names, that when Moshe was appointed leader, Aaron, his older brother, came out to greet him, truly happy with the situation. We can see the love that the two brothers had for each other. Each one was genuinely happy for the other's good fortune. The Chasam Sofer says that whenever Hashem spoke to Moshe, the divine voice was never heard by anyone else. The women took a lesson from this and always kept their conversations with their husbands quiet and private between them. It seems today that we have lost the sensitivity towards others and the privacy we used to guard for each other. Every subject is open to public discussion and debate, no matter how hurtful. We have become used to the thing mentality, believing that it's okay to treat others without respect, for everyone else does it as well. But keep in mind, in order to create a truly harmonious, progressive environment, we need the input of everyone, great and small. This message is even more important as we prepare for the holiday of Pesach, Passover. There's cleaning to be done, the shopping for food and clothes, and the last-minute preparations. Remember, if you want to get everything done well, you need everyone's input. You'll be amazed how cleaning can be so much easier and fun. Have a good Shabbos.
Dear Mr. President, as a believer in the Bible, you know that the Jewish people were given the land of Israel not because of a UN declaration, but because of a declaration from God. The Bible says God owns the world. There is room for everyone, but He promised Israel to His chosen people, hence the name, the Promised Land. As you are aware, Mr. President, the Bible stipulates that the eternal boundaries of this promised land includes everything west of the Jordan River. So to suggest now that a Palestinian state be carved from the West Bank and Gaza, land specifically included in God's promise, is wrong. It's time for America, one nation under God, to support the entire land of Israel. Because the promised land was promised forever. Sincerely yours, believersofthebible.org.
Goldwasser's story segment is sponsored by Rolodin, where you can get a complete Shabbat dinner for $36.99, which serves four with soup, fish, side orders, challah, and salad. Now accepting orders at 412-521-5555. 412-521-5555. And now, the Jewish Experience Master Storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
There was a certain person who had a very warm love for the Torah and those who study Torah. He was once questioned about this, and he shared the following story. When he was a young boy, he traveled to Radin, to the famous yeshiva of the Chofetz Chaim, to be tested because he wanted to enter this yeshiva the following season. However, after the test, he went back to the train station. However, he saw that he had missed the last train going out for the night. Having no place to rest, he went back to the yeshiva. The Chofetz Chaim happened to walk by the Beis Medrash and saw this person there, and told him that he must come to his house where he can have a good night's sleep. The person followed the Chofetz Chaim to his house, And when they arrived, the Chofetz Chaim himself prepared the bed for the person. Around midnight, the Chofetz Chaim tiptoed into the boy's room and took off his coat and put it over the boy because he was afraid that he was cold. "You know," said this person, "this," he said, "is the reason for my warm love towards Torah. The coat that the Chofetz Chaim put over me warmed me not only that night, but has kept me warm for many, many years." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
And with 1 week before the Passover holiday, a couple of reminders. Camp Ganya's Roll, Summer of a Lifetime, July 9th through August 17th. For more information, call 412-715-4883. Rabbi Shmuley and Connie Rothman, directors. Don't forget, Pesach Family Concert with Benny Friedman, live Thursday, August 5th, in the Katz Auditorium of the JCC in Squirrel Hill. And you can call the same number, 412-715-4883, for more information on that. B'nai Emunah Synagogue, two events, pre-Pesach Seminar, March 27th at 8:15 p.m., and a pre-Pesach Lunch and Learn, Shabbos, March 31st. Contact the synagogue, 412-521-1477. And the meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery, a successful program, keeps on meeting, keeps on being successful. Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30, call Elon at 412-422-2224. Don't forget to call us if you'd like to have our Mazel Tovs, have your Mazel Tovs on our program, 412-979-5770, or mail Jewish Experience at Verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And as we begin to wrap up the program, I want to thank Rabbi Don Yoel Levy, CEO and Kashrus Administrator of OK Kosher in Brooklyn, New York, for enlightening us in the mysterious business of kosher supervision. And to all our, of course, faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Schulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and, of course, our ever-reliable engineer, Jeremy LeBossenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 7:17 p.m. It's been fun once again, but I'm out of here. Talk to you next week as we get ready for the final show, the famous pre-Pesach show. And until then, have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Malachi Elyon, Mimelech Malchei HaMlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimelech Malchei HaMlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shabbat.